The seven habits of highly effective people. Habit 5. Seek first to understand, then to be understood.
This next habit is so useful, so practical. I'm very excited about teaching it. I think you'll see why when we get into it. Because it has immediate value and application. I mean, you can use it tonight. It's the key skill of how to listen. How to listen in depth to other people. But let me just preface this habit by first of all acknowledging that without any question, communication is the most important skill in life. Half of our waking hours as adults is spent in some form of communication. Literally. Right now you're listening, you're writing. I'm speaking. This whole day is communication. There's four forms of communication, basically. Reading, speaking, writing, and listening. Now watch this. How many have had years of training in reading, writing, speaking? How many have had years of training in listening? You've been practicing listening. But my guess is there's very few people who've had more than a few hours or a few days at most in training in listening. But we've had many years on reading and writing, on the technique, getting feedback on how well we're doing, not listening. If I were to summarize in one sentence the single most important principle I have ever learned in the field of interpersonal relations, this would be the sentence. Seek first to understand, then to be understood. Literally. In fact, most of my mistakes fall in not honoring that principle. And where I do succeed, I'm convinced it's because I have honored that principle. Seek first to understand. As we mentioned earlier, the tendency of most people is not to listen with the intent to understand, but listen with the intent to reply. They're speaking or preparing to speak. Consequently, their energy is not in really understanding what another person is attempting to communicate. Not just in their words. See, the most significant kind of communication is nonverbal. Nonverbal. Not verbal. It's not your words. It's not something I hear with my ears. It's something I see with my eyes and feel with my heart. That's the music of another person. Few people are trained to listen to that. They're filtering everything through their autobiography. They're reading their home movie constantly into other people's lives, projecting their intentions on other people's behavior. Oh, I know exactly why he's doing that. They're just projecting their intention on it, see? It's called projection. Home movie reading, see? Because they don't really deeply understand what's happening inside other people. They don't know how to. They haven't been trained to, or they don't have the emotional strength, because I'm telling you, if you start to listen, you are vulnerable. I mean, really listen. I don't mean superficial listening. I mean empathic listening. In fact, if I were to classify listening under five areas, I would say one would be ignoring, not listening at all, just ignoring. Another one would be pretend listening. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know what you mean. I understand. Another one would be selective listening, like with your little five-year-old. You know, if you were to empathize constantly every second, you'd just never do anything else. So you have to kind of select because of this running chatter program. The next one would be attentive listening. You're attending. You're attending. You're listening. Your energies are there. But the highest is empathic listening. Empathic. You deeply get inside other people. Meaning you get inside their frame of reference, you look out through it, you see how they see the world, you understand their paradigm, you understand how they feel. It's not that you judge them, not that you agree with them. It's not sympathy. Empathy is not sympathy. Sympathy is a form of agreement. It's a form of judgment. Empathy is where you see how they see it, feel how they feel. That kind of listening is powerful. It's deeply, deeply therapeutic. Healing. I'll tell you why it's so healing. It's like giving air to somebody, psychologically, rather than biologically. It affirms them. See, the deepest need of the human soul is to be understood, to be affirmed, to be validated, to be appreciated. You can't truly appreciate unless you understand. The height of our gratitude is the height of our understanding. See, to really do that, it takes a tremendous amount of energy inside of us. It's risky. It's risky. We become vulnerable. But it can be done. It's very powerful. It gives people air. If we were to suck the air out of this room right now, what would happen to your interest in these discussions? See, you only have one interest now. That is survival. You want air, right? Now that you have air, does it motivate you? No, it doesn't at all. See, a satisfied need does not motivate. It's only the unsatisfied needs that motivate. You know what the first need that follows physical survival? Psychological survival. You matter. You matter, see? I affirm you as a person. Enormously healing and therapeutic. Now, by the way, the principle we're talking about here is a generic principle. It covers all of life. Every successful profession utilizes the principle. Seek first to understand, then to be understood. Think about them. Medicine. What's the basic discipline? What's the basic technique of medicine? Diagnose, before you prescribe. What's our principle? Seek first to understand, then to be understood. Our little Jenny, when she was very, very little, had a combination of vomiting and diarrhea. Same thing happened with our Cynthia, when she was very little, and it really scared us because she was thrown into the hospital with severe dehydration. Jenny got it. We were again scared. It was a big football game in our community that just dominated the consciousness of everybody. We wanted to be there, but couldn't because of this illness. And we were worried about Jenny, but we were listening to the game. And our doctor was there. And the one who was on call was there. So I said, we've got to call him. Sandra called him. Had to be paged right in the middle of a very critical time in the football game. You could feel it immediately in his tone of voice. Sandra told me, yes, yes, you know, get to it. Let's be officious. I want to get back, too. Yes. Doctor, this is Mrs. Covey, and we're concerned about little Jenny. What's the situation? Describe the symptoms and so forth. Okay, I'll call in a prescription. Where's your drugstore? We told. Hung up. Sandra felt like she didn't give full data, but adequate. I said, you know, Sandra, do you think he realizes that Jenny is just a newborn? Oh, I'm sure he does. I'm sure he does. Yeah, but he's not our doctor. Yeah, but he's seen her, I think. Yeah, he has seen her. Yeah, but are you sure of that? Oh, I'm almost sure. Almost? What can we do? Call him back. You call him back. So I called him back. This time I introduced myself as Dr. Covey. The kind of doctor that don't do nobody no good. Doctor, you know, did you realize that when you gave that last prescription that Jenny is just a newborn? Just 2 months old? Oh, well, I didn't realize that. That's good you called me back. We'll have to change the prescription, see? See, you'd have no confidence in any prescription unless you had confidence in the diagnosis. No use seeking to be understood unless you're sure you understand.